Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. You know, you think about it. If David, King David, was running for office, I could see the campaign signs right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was thrown out of his job at the King's Palace. They're not going to tell him that he actually did a better job than the King. They're not going to bring that up in the campaign.
Right.
They're going to say, well, you know, he was just competing and he wanted to take over the leadership position, and so we had to just, you know, get him out of the office. And the truth was, the King was jealous of David, and he knew that he could easily run for office and win. But David didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
But the campaign wouldn't go that way. And so then David would say, you know, in his campaign, if he was going to run like American democracy, which probably is on a countdown to like it may never be again,
mm-hmm.
is he would say, you know, these false accusations, I've been trying to treat them well, and these things are happening. All this is not true. And all these, you know, I'm for him. I'm not against him, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the King would say, King Saul would say, I can't even locate him for a debate. He won't even debate with me. And he's like, first of all, he's not going to debate with you because he's David. Secondly, you'll kill him if he's mm-hmm. off of the debate. I mean, you think about it. And then finally, if they show up, they'd be on the debate floor. And King Saul, we got to remember this, Christians, because we are not righteous. God's righteous, and it's his righteousness that comes through us. And the Lord will remind us of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to come right out and let people know up front that, you know, it's the reason why we are Christians, that we called out to God, and God forgave us and forgives us, not because we're righteous in our own self. And so then, okay, the debate finally happens, you know. David gets it. This is just this is not really happening. We're just talking about what about. And then so David finally gets enough security around him that he can get close enough to the candidate he's running against, that's running against him. And he didn't even want to run. You know, he was chosen to run for that office. You
right.
know, he was out just tending his sheep one day. He was at his office working.
Yeah.
And then people that, you know, God came to him and said, hey, I want you to run for office. Like, yeah. Oh my goodness. Of course, his brothers lined up and said, you know, I am actually a better candidate than
yeah.
you.
Yeah, great encouragement.
Yeah, right. God knew. And so here you imagine, so David gets enough security to survive in the presence of the guy who's running against him because he's not going to kill him. And he comes out there, and all of a sudden, they bring a case against David. David, isn't it true that when, on your foreign policy, that when you were supposed to be out defending the nation, you were having an affair with another man's wife? I refuse to comment on the grounds that might incriminate me. Right?
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, can I explain? Next question, please. This doesn't look good, you know?
Right,
and
right.
So, well, yes, I did have an affair with Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. So that means you're not qualified to be the king of Israel. Next question, please. Well, isn't it true, King Saul, that you were chosen by God to be king? I mean, you are the one mm-hmm. that is the chosen one. Mm-hmm. And it's true, isn't it? He goes, well, yeah, I'm the chosen one. I've, you know, I was looking for my donkeys. The King James says I was looking for my ass.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, I thought I was going to be king. You know, I always wanted to be king. And then David says, well, didn't we find you hiding behind the luggage when it was time to when it was time to anoint you in front of everybody and call you up? Weren't you terrified and you had to go back and talk to your campaign managers to, you sure I'm supposed to be king? That's what happened. He was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to drag him up and put him up front. And, of course, once he got there, he got so fearful, he began to put his, he was forceful towards people and hurting people and that type of thing. So then you think about it, and so David somehow gets through that in this theoretical debate, and then finally, the ace in the hole, King Saul, all the cameras are on him, all the reporters are leaning forward, and they know the question's going to be asked. The foreign policy question's been asked, yes, you should have been at war, David, and you were having an affair,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the question we really want to ask you. Isn't it true that when this all came to pass, that she got pregnant? You had a pregnant during. Isn't this true? You know, you were in the white, not white. You were in the leadership house of the nation, and when everybody was at war handling foreign policy, you were having an affair with another man's wife because he was out. He was in the Navy SEALs, right? He was a general. He was out there fighting for the country when you were out there cheating on his wife. And the whole crowd goes, ooh. You know, tweets start going out everywhere. David's lost this election.
Yeah.
It's over. Let's take a poll now. Right? Is this not true? I'm talking, you know, I'm just, yeah. We got to get a bear. This is who we are. It's Jesus is good. Mm-hmm. And so David's like, oh my goodness. He's getting blank minded now. He's thinking, what do I say now? I mean, you're right. My foreign policy sucks. You know, and I was, kings were supposed to be at war and I let them down. Mm-hmm. And he can feel the tension because he knows what his opponent's about to bring up. Mm-hmm. And he says, the reporter says this, didn't you send that? I just want to say another word, but we'll just say, didn't you send a man to his death? You didn't surround him with security.
Right.
You knew this was a dangerous time. You knew that we've been out making war with these kings. You knew that if we just sent somebody on the front lines and did not bring security around them, that they were going to die. David, did you send this man to his death? He's thinking. He's looking for Joab. He's looking for Joab. You know why? Because Joab was his PR dude. I mean, Joab was the head of his military. He chose him to be the head of the military. And he knew. He knew what really happened. Everybody thought that this person died by friendly fire.
Right.
I mean, you know, just normal war. They thought. But Joab knew. Joab knew that King David sent a letter, a text, a memo, a security thing to Joab and said, have Bathsheba's husband, who is now pregnant with my child. I didn't bring that part up.
Right.
Send him out on the front line. Send him to a, what do you call where ambassadors stay? Embassy.
Embassy, yeah.
Send him out where there's no security around the embassy. Send him out there. I'm just saying that it kind of looks something. It could be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he sent him out with no cover. He intentionally sent him out so that he would die, that would stop whatever was going on, would not be known, right? But yeah,
right.
God knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so David has to hang his head and just goes like, yeah, this is totally true. Of course, he's not debating with Saul because Saul's already dead. But this is like, this is what would happen. And you're thinking, there's no way this guy could be of God. I mean, look at all the struggles and look at all the things that he's accused of. It has to be true because he did do that, and this did happen, and he couldn't be a man after God's own heart. His campaign slogan, a man after God's own heart, it can't be a true thing. It just couldn't be a true thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, and it is.
Right.
What does that mean? Listen, don't get caught up in all these politics. Yeah, we have a presidential debate coming up and all that, but realize, let's vote for Jesus. You know, let's understand that there's no one righteous, no, not one. But yet, you know, if we do sin, if we do make gross error in our walk, because we serve Jesus, we can be forgiven of that sin. And we have candidates across the board, across the country, you know, running for office, and they say that they're a Christian and they love God, but they have things in their life that they made mistakes. Listen, you know, do you not have things? And if you ask people around you, they'll let you know. I mean, everybody's fallen short. I mean, you may not have smoked your Bible. You know, but listen, that's ridiculous for us to hold somebody's feet to some righteous fire instead of saying that he's willing to say, I want to be a man, or she's willing to say, I want to be a woman who runs after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Don't write people off because they failed and made mistakes. Celebrate the fact that they're willing to openly stand up and say, I love Jesus, you know, and I need him, and I'm going to seek him and inquire him. And this is what got David into office. This is what got him into his leadership position. And this is what got Saul out, was David inquired of the Lord. He was not a perfect man, but he abided with God. He would just spend time with God. He would abide with him. He would listen to him and do what he said, and he would believe him. And that was somebody God could use. Obviously not a perfect person. Mm-hmm. And it's real strange how Christians are looking for perfect people. And it's like, you wouldn't even vote for yourself if you were running. And there's nobody perfect but Jesus.
That's right.
You know, and if somebody has fallen and things have happened, and we're getting close to elections across America, and we've got to wake up. We've got to wake up and realize, listen, you know, that if they're openly professing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they've already cranked themselves up to the top percentile of the world right now, because a lot of people who say they're Christians are not even saying squat.
Yeah.
And if they've made mistakes and sin, but they're still serving God and sought forgiveness, and they're openly talking about it, that's a man or woman to be admired, because most people are controlled by their past failures. And they realize, you know what, this is who I am, this is what happened, and God's forgiven me, but it's time for us to do what's right and trust God. You know, broken people reaching out to a broken people to tell them about a whole God. And we need to understand this, that as Christians, we're not looking at things through a secular eye. We're looking at things through a grace-filled, merciful, loving God, fearful God. Way. We're looking at, you know, a biblical perspective of the world and the nation. And when somebody stands up and says, I'm not, and they stand up and don't listen to what people say. Look what they do. Because he said, you know them by what they do, not by what they say. Fruit. Mm-hmm. When they say they're against, with their actions and their words, against Jesus, when they say they're against, even though they say, I'm a Christian, but they say that their actions are, I'm against Jesus. The Antichrist is my best friend, you know,
and
I'm treating God, apple of God's eye, like disposable people, Israel, treating Israel that way. You know, realize, well, your values, vote for people who stand for God. You know, vote for them. I'm not telling you to vote for them. I'm just telling you, listen, you got to answer to God. For how, and if you're not registered to vote, 33 million conservatives, by the way, think they are, and they're not. Many people are not registered at all. And Grant, I'll tell you, you know, from this whole journey for myself, you know, I haven't been quick to think about, you know, I'm going to vote for this person or that person. I'm just walking every hour, every moment in the fear of the Lord, thinking we're in some very treacherous times, and the hope is not a man. The hope is Jesus Christ, and you have to listen to him every step of the way. I mean, it's not time to vote on absentee ballot, because you don't know what God's going to do by the time.
You have to wait
to the last, till they say, you know, till the last rooster crows.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to hear what's happening. And some of the things we're seeing prophetically, just hold on. There's more things to happen in the movie. You know what I'm saying? It's not over. Don't get popcorn now. Don't file your absentee now. Realize some things are about to happen. And stop being so hard on people who love Jesus, who wanted to stand up and be a leader of your school board, or be a leader in your county or your city council, or you know, be a congressman, a state congressman, or senator, or governor. I mean, or federal leadership. Don't be so hard on them, you know. And if they're not a Christian, understand this, that, hey, maybe they might be a good leader. You know, so I don't hear any American saying this. I don't hear any American going, well, you know, I'm getting paid $56,000 a year with benefits, but I was noticing my boss, you know, for the last 10 years, that he's been making good decisions and helping me feed my family and these nice cars and vacations and things I've been going on. And when I got sick, he gave me some time off to go take care of myself or my family. And he let me go off to go spend time with my kids that were sick and all that. You know, I'm thinking about quitting the company because I don't think he's really a Christian. It's like, I understand the 18% of The church, according to George Barna, don't even read the word, Bible, right. And only 3% are concerned about where they are in the context of that. But let me tell you something. I've read it. This is what he says. He says, submit to your boss as unto the Lord, not for his eyes only, but for God's eyes, because God's the one that rewards you. Mm-hmm. All authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it, that means resist it, rebel against what God's established. He actually says this in the context of Ephesians chapter 6. Slaves, submit to your masters as unto the Lord. What does that mean? It's irrelevant. If Moses was raised up under Pharaoh, mm-hmm. Let me tell you what Pharaoh's house looked like. It looked like probably burnt people, cut, disemboweled people on stones for sacrifices, deep sexual orgies and sexuality was everywhere. I mean, there were, he thought he was God, Pharaoh, and that, you know, all mm-hmm. these things happened in there. And part of their sacrifice was prostitution and all that kind of stuff that they would do for their gods. And mm-hmm. this is where Moses was being raised up as a boy.
Yeah.
If he would have quit Pharaoh, he would have quit God's order for him.
Right.
And Joseph, I mean, come on. Moses delivered God's people, but he was raised up and worked for under Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh thought he was God. I mean, everybody's worked for a boss once they thought they were God. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but God parted the waters for Moses. Mm-hmm. And then Joseph, the people who were supposed to be for him, sold him into slavery. And he's being raised up by Potiphar. Same kind of stuff's happening in his house under Pharaoh. He's a governor under Pharaoh. But God raised him up in those circumstances. What am I saying? I'm saying this. You know, we got to knock it off as America. E pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. That it's not about, we're founded on Christian values, but it's not a theocracy. With the Constitution, we are allowed to worship God. If you push theocracy concepts, then the First Amendment is going to go away, because whoever the strongest theologian is, you know, mm-hmm. is going to take over. Whoever the most religious controlling person is going to take over, versus like, just give me the right to worship Jesus. And so if somebody's running for office and they have great ethics and great values, but they got it wrong when it comes to Jesus, but they're not going to harm the people and they're going to stand with Israel, and they're going to allow the Constitution to still stand. Hey, we can survive that.
Right.
But you can't survive, and we need to talk openly about if it's the wrong perspective, but we can survive that. But you can't survive, you know, somebody who's against Israel, because Israel, if you curse Israel, if you do Israel in, God's going to do you in. You're not going to live as a nation.
Right.
Period. Simple done. Done. You can't poke. You know, you can't poke God in the eye,
right?
You know, the apple of God's eye, mm-hmm. and think that he's not going to poke your nation off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Your lamb will be there, but nothing else in regards to that kind of concept will be mm-hmm. there. So I want to encourage you this morning. Listen, if it didn't happen, but you can imagine if King Saul and David got on a stage and began to debate each other. I mean, come on. David would look really, really bad in there. Mm-hmm. And most people will be buying into the king, because the king is king, and they know that he could take their head off. And he has the power, he has the resources, and he can do anything he wants to with that resources. So David's going to look like he's not going to come over good.
Right.
And it's up to you to understand, as a Christian, how does God see people? Does he see them? Does he hold our sins against us? Or does he forgive us?
Right.
Does he use the weak things of the world to confound the wise, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are? Or does he only look for the strong, strapping, tall people that are able to intellectually think their way through things? No, God puts his all-surpassing power in broken people like Pat.
Yes.
And amen. Broken people like Pat and smoking people like Chris. And he doesn't smoke. That's past stuff. And just horrific when people like me, in regards to how could this work? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're at this constant state of going like, but I'm not. And you're using me to be, I am, and that's not going to work.
It can't work.
Yeah, it's so funny. You know, Pat and I get together, like, I look at him for the answer, and he looks at me for the answer, and we're thinking, this is not good.
We're in trouble.
You're in trouble. We're going to have to go find somebody that knows. So I encourage you. Yes, the debates are tonight. They're tonight. But don't look with a critical religious eye tonight. Look at both of the men who are running, understanding that God loves them both. And every one of them, both of them, are doing the best they know. And people can have a different viewpoint than yours, and it doesn't mean they're wrong. Mm-hmm. So don't just shut. Don't be religious and just shut down your. I'm not going to listen to anything this person says, because you're being a Pharisee if you do that. You just got to listen. Understand every perspective is not your own. You have to listen to what's going on, but then you measure it by God's word. Mm-hmm. You pray about it, and then you make a decision. And I encourage you. Although, you know, in the past we did vote by absentee ballots, but this is probably the most important election America's ever faced. And are you going to trust your decision for the leader of the nation on the postal service with a stamp to deliver this? Yeah. Or do you want God to see you standing like the Iraqis stood in front of the whole world and dipped their thumb in the ink and pressed it on the card so everybody could see you voting? I think this year, you know, I'm rethinking about, I'm not going to do absentee by God's grace. I'm going to be in town. I'm going to go, and I'm going to stand in line and just believe and go vote public. I want to be seen. I'm hoping Christians will show up by thousands in the polls, and we have to wait. We have to leave the polls open for an extra 3 hours because we just came out in droves. We do, because 50% of Florida will have voted before the election by absentee.
Wow.
Listen, I'm telling you, we don't know things that God's shown us. Hold on. I mean, wouldn't it be terrible if you voted, you know, here's Moses back against the water. You know, the people are rebelling against Moses. Mm-hmm. And Moses is going into God's like, I was so fine. I was okay on the backside. Why did you? No, he didn't say it. He's like, why'd you? So here's the, you know, Pharaoh's army's coming against them. And it looks like it's totally over. You have the Dead Sea on one side, and then you have Pharaoh's army, who was viciously coming after their slaves, what they were enslaved God's people, and you're thinking, oh, this is over. It's not time to vote for your absentee ballot yet. Right. I'm just encouraging you, don't do it yet. Because if you vote for that, you're going to vote based on thinking, okay, Moses won't be a candidate in the future. It's about to be over for him because they're going to take his head. If you would have voted for, you know, in the battle for America too soon, you wouldn't have voted for George Washington.
Right.
But they demanded him to be king later on, and he said, no, it's just president, and it's for a term. Don't vote too soon. This is the year. Don't vote too soon. You know, schedule your time. Get time off. Make sure you have plenty of time to stand in line. This is not something you want to buzz in or buzz out. You want God to see you, you know, following his lead in what you're doing. But if you would have voted at that one moment, you wouldn't have voted for Moses, not because you didn't like Moses. You would have thought he's dead. If I vote for him, I just would have wasted my vote. But you didn't understand that God's about to part the situation. God was about to part the sea. He was going to part the Dead Sea.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to part the Dead Sea, and they were going to walk over on dry land, and they were going to make it to the other side. And the candidate that you thought you were going to vote for, that was going to win everything and be the leader, he was going to die in the Dead Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen. Stop voting so soon. Hear a matter out. Voting is a honor, and people have died for it. Go to Arlington. Go to Arlington Cemetery. Go to the local military cemetery where you are and say, dear God, forgive me for taking this for granted. Hold the Constitution in your hand and say, Lord, would you not extend this time and give it back to us, Father God, where the enemy's trying to take this? And then wait. Don't vote until you have to vote. Vote on election day. I mean, go early. Don't wait too late. They may close the polls on you. If people are trying to threaten you and they're trying to convince you not to vote, you know, take a beating for your vote. Mm-hmm. Don't, I mean, this is going to be a smaller beating. I mean, there's people that were standing in front of polls with bats,
mm-hmm.
you know, in some polls. Just stand strong. Know who you're going to vote for. Study the candidates. Abide with God. Ask God. Hear a matter out. And then vote. Listen, Jesus, God, this is God, God voted for David. And everybody that was under King Saul's leadership voted for him. But once God changed the matter and parted the Dead Sea, if you would,
right,
then all the people that voted for King Saul came looking for King David.
That's right.
And said, you know what? We were always with you. We always thought you should be the man. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.